This is the In Focus podcast from The Hindu.
Hello and welcome to the In Focus podcast. My name is Jayant Sriram and I'm your host for today. We begin our state-by-state analysis of the assembly elections with this episode. And we begin with the biggest story perhaps of this whole election cycle. The battle for Nandigram in West Bengal, where polling took place today, that's April 1st. That battle is of course between West Bengal Chief Minister Mamata Banerjee and her one-time close aide Shuvendu Adhikari, who had defected to the BJP. We'll discuss how the battle for Nandigram in some ways presents a microcosm of the entire eight-phase long election that is set to take place in the state. A spirited campaign by the TMC against the electoral might and machinery of the BJP, with the contest, according to many observers, too close to call. And then we'll take a closer look at how the campaigns from each side in this election have evolved and what lies ahead as voting progresses. I'm joined today by our correspondent on the ground in Kolkata, Shiv Sahai Singh. Shiv Sahai Singh, welcome to the Hindus in Focus podcast. It's your first time joining us. Thank you for making time for us today.
Thank you.
So, let's start with the big event of the day today, which is the Nandigram vote that is ongoing as we're recording, actually. Mm-hmm. And so, just wanted to ask you, what has been your sense on the ground from there? Because you must have reported a lot from that area, given that it's the most sort of talked about vote. And, you know, how far can one see that contest as a kind of a microcosm of this whole election,
So Nandigram is the sum and substance of, you know, what we will see in the eight phase, 33 day long polling, which will continue till the end of April. Political activities in Nandigram started much before, you know, in January when the chief minister said that she wants to contest from there. Since then, it has been the center of the politics. And this 1 month, the entire month of March has been very crucial. The chief minister started her campaign on 9th of March. 10th of March, she sustained an injury. Then she went, you know, she was admitted. And then in the last week, she's been stationed there. So as of now, today, there has been no major incident of violence, but there have been allegations and counter-allegations, but more or less the polling is peaceful. And it is only after this polling, that the polling ends today, that she will go for campaign in other areas. We all are aware that this is very high profile, high voltage contest between the chief minister who's been elected to Lok Sabha 7 times, twice to the assembly, and her own aide, who is now a rival, Shubhendu Adhikari, who wields a considerable influence in the region. He was also the MLA of Nandigram from 2016 till December 2020. So that's the whole context of it. And there is also a bit of a history to Nandigram. 2007, 14th March, there was a police firing. People were opposing the setting up of a petrochemical hub there. And 14 villagers were killed in that violence. And the whole Nandigram was something that catapulted Trinamool to power. So it has a huge significance in West Bengal politics. In the first decade, it had a huge significance in how the left, you know, in the left regime, how the left regime came to an end. And now, the starting of this new decade, it has become another kind of center of politics where two kind of political heavyweights are facing each other. So as of now, the polling is on, and in most places in West Bengal, we see high voting percentage. So, might be the polling may cross 80% or something. And you were also asking about how I have seen this campaign turn out to be. With the first public meeting which the chief minister, which Mamata Banerjee addressed, was on March 9. And she wasn't even taking the name of her rival. She was talking about larger issues and all that. But as campaign, as the date of polling kind of approached, we see the attacks became very direct. So the last day she was campaigning was 29th, and she was very direct. She was taking on Shubhendu directly, calling him Gaddar and traitor. Mir Zafar has become a big word here. And from the BJP, BJP has brought in everyone. You know, Amit Shah came on the last day of campaigning. The Mithun Chakravarti did a roadshow. Yogi Adityanath was here to campaign in the constituency. The Prime Minister addressed a rally at Kathi on March 24, and a significant portion of his address was directed on Nandigram. So what we are seeing in Nandigram is, as I said, sum and substance of the entire eight-phase bitterly contested elections.
Right. And, you know, just to ask you, not that we ever try and make predictions as journalists when we're covering elections, but is it, do you get the sense that it's as close as...
It can be. Yeah, it can be very close. And what I felt as a journalist is that when Mamata, by the time the campaign was over, she had made a significant, you know, kind of an impact. She's talking to people. You can see people's response when somebody's speaking on the ground. She had generated a support of her own, and the people were kind of listening her with rapt attention, cheering her with everything. So she had gained a significant ground in Nandigram. So there's also one interesting thing which is happening in this election, not only in Nandigram, but also across the entire state. We have to understand that Trinamool is a regional party, local party. It's been in the power for the past 10 years. And they are facing the entire might of BJP, which is so many leaders are coming to campaign. And if you look at Nandigram, or for that any Nandigram per se, you will see that the outings, the road show, the high extravaganza which BJP is doing. So it sometimes you feel that it looks like Trinamool is the smaller party. They are up against the entire might of the BJP in terms of their in terms of so many leaders coming, in terms of the money power. And so that is also one aspect which is very indicative of the entire state, and something which we have seen in Nandigram also. Most number of campaigns of irregularities are coming from the ruling party. This is very strange in West Bengal politics, because usually the complaints of irregularities were from the opposition party. But this time we are seeing that the Trinamool is saying that, you know, there have been electoral malpractices, our agents have not been allowed. So it's a different election compared to the other earlier election, different assembly election. That's how her campaign has turned out to be, and BJP had a very high voltage, high shrill campaign. The BJP was trying to rhyme Nandigram with Jai Shri Ram, and also Mamata was trying to rhyme it with Shongram. Shongram essentially means struggle in Bengali.
Right.
So that's how it has turned out to be, and it could be very close.
Right. Okay. So you mentioned that this is an election that's taking place over eight phases. In that sense, it's a very long election. Just for reference, I think the last election in 2016 took place over six phases. You know, technically speaking, if we're making progress, we should be reducing the number of phases.
Right.
But in this case, we've increased the number of phases.
And there are districts which are going to polls on three dates. So, for instance, today South 24 Pargana is going to poll, and it will go to poll on two other dates. So, for one district, you know, some assembly constituencies are going to poll on one day. So, in that way, it's a very complicated arrangement of seats which are going to poll. So, we have seen in the past 15 years is that one region goes to poll, say North Bengal goes to poll or South Bengal goes to poll, and one region by region, the commission, and that's probably easier for them to deploy forces and all, goes to poll. But this time, so North Bengal will also, which is like 500-600 kilometers from here, hills will be going to poll with the plains. So this is something, and this is something that Trinamool had objected.
Right, yeah. So, but kind of following on from that, you know, that's a long election process over 8 phases.
Yeah.
And one would assume that that requires a lot of political machinery to pull off, right? You mentioned that the BJP is basically throwing all its forces into this election, bringing a whole bunch of star campaigners. So, you know, and Mamata, well, I mean, she's kind of taking a lot of the campaign burden herself. So, you know, is that... So which side, I mean, does the BJP have an advantage here in the sense of the length of the campaign? Or how is it sort of ebbing and flowing according to you?
You know, if in terms of this 8-phase elections and the way we have seen politics in West Bengal, particularly Mamata Banerjee, she will not, you know, let her campaign go down. So today when the Nandigram election will be over, from today onwards, she'll be going to North Bengal. Even with a leg injury, she's addressing 3 public meetings a day. What has, you know, her movement has been restricted. So she's not doing the padyatras, long walks, kilometers long walk, which she was used to. But then I think that, you know, she will also campaign and she knows the region much better. So the campaign will be there. And after Nandigram, it will move to near Kolkata in central Bengal, in North Bengal. So it will happen. I don't think that this 8-phase, as it might have appeared when the elections were announced, will benefit BJP. But now, as we are into the campaign, we think that Trinamool will also leave no stone unturned, and Trinamool will also match up to their campaign. Mamata Banerjee is doing 3 rallies a day. Abhishek Banerjee, Diamond Harbour MP, her nephew is also doing 2-3 rallies a day. So they will also keep up the pace of the campaign.
So, just coming to the sort of substance of the campaigns itself. So the most talked about aspect of this set of, you know, not just this assembly election in Bengal, but this whole set of assembly elections taken as a whole is, you know, that the big talking point is the extent to which the BJP could possibly make inroads into West Bengal, possibly take it as a new stronghold for itself. So, you know, this has been a project that seems to have been going on for years. We've been talking about this now. You know, before the 2019 Lok Sabha elections and looking at how the BJP can make inroads in that election. And then, you know, sort of looking ahead with the CAA and the NRC, et cetera, to how they can pitch their poll campaign for the assembly elections in West Bengal. So just to sort of recap and, you know, see how it's evolved, what have been the major aspects of their campaign?
We'll go a little bit in past, say 2014. So 2014 is a long time in past, but 2014 when the BJP was, you know, BJP came with you, there was this Modi wave all across the country, and BJP did campaign. Mr. Modi did rallies here in Kolkata and all that. And that time they were not very serious about Bengal. I remember he held a rally at Brigade in 2014, where he said that if you give votes to me, then you will have 2 laddus. You know, the Didi will be ruling your state and developing the state, and I'll be ruling the center. So from there, from 2 laddus, now they're talking about double engine government, right, in West Bengal. Mostly, BJP started feeling hopeful. Even in the 2016 elections, they won only 3 out of 294 seats. So 5 years ago also, they were not very hopeful. The left and the Congress were the main opposition forces. Things started changing post 2018 when the panchayat elections were held in West Bengal, and there were allegations of opposition not being allowed to field candidates. Now, West Bengal is a very political society, and panchayat elections are the time, you know, since the delivery systems are routed through panchayat, all the deliveries, all the benefits are routed through panchayat. Panchayat becomes the 3-tier system becomes a very important thing. 2018 is when slowly the, you know, people started joining BJP. They won at 1 or 2 places. They started looking at it seriously. And then they used defections as a political tool, getting anybody from Trinamool. And from 2018, and then they won 18, the BJP won 18 out of 42 seats in West Bengal in 2019. And since then, they kind of arrived as a main opposition force. And from then on, they have built their campaign on various issues. Definitely, the CA and RC was an issue which they used to talk till 2020. Strangely, in this campaign, the BJP wasn't talking it till they released their manifesto and said that we will implement CA here in the first cabinet meeting. And then they have this, the BJP has this whole thing of making Sonar Bangla, which means gold in Bengal, promising industrialization, promising jobs. So that's how their campaign has built up. And the Trinamool, on the other hand, is building their campaign on Bengali pride. One of the very key slogans of the party is that Bengal wants its own daughter. So Bengal, Bangla nijer make it chai. So, and also, you have to also understand that the Mamata Banerjee still remains the biggest leader in West Bengal vis-a-vis. BJP doesn't have anybody to match her stature or charisma. And that is why probably they're going to polls without a chief ministerial candidate. And this is probably the first elections that West Bengal is seeing since independence, when a right-wing party is so much talked about.
Right. And so, given that this has been a years-long project by the BJP, are there some areas in Bengal that we can already kind of identify as their strongholds, just sort of going by their performance in 2019?
Yeah. If you go by 2019, we see that they won all the seats in North Bengal. Darjeeling, Jalpaiguri, Kuch Bihar, then Raiganj, even in the southwestern part of West Bengal, which we call Jangal Mahal here, Purulia, Bankura, Mednipur, they won. So these two areas can be called as their stronghold. Going by 2019 election, Lok Sabha elections, and Lok Sabha and elections to the state assemblies can be different. But going by that, we can see that these are the areas. And Trinamool won seats all near Kolkata, in South 24 Parganas, and some in North 24 Parganas, Howrah and all that. So if you want to say which are the stronger areas for BJP, the BJP would be the North Bengal, the Southwestern Bengal, which is, I think, in the first two phases, the elections are over in Southwest Bengal. Now, election will be held in other parts of the state. So, and Trinamool has this support in and around Kolkata, Howrah, South 24 Parganas, parts of North 24 Parganas, and also in districts like Nodia, Malda, Murshidabad.
Right. And so the areas in which the BJP has, you know, made ground recently, as you mentioned, dominated, is that, you know, in the case of Assam, for instance, that this has been that's been the result of years put in by the RSS cadre. So has there been a kind of a ground level game that the BJP has had for a while, or is this a more recent kind of surge because of issues related to CA, to NRC and things like that?
As I pointed out, till 2014, even in 2016, the BJP was not serious about West Bengal. They weren't key players. Their voting percentage was never above 20%. 2014, they got about 17% vote. 2014, and then in 2016, the vote actually declined. It came down to about 10%. So it has been a very recent development, post 2018, if you can say, and a number of factors have. We also have to look that, you know, the opposition in West Bengal, the left and Congress, people they couldn't. Their MLAs were leaving and going to Trinamool. They couldn't provide protection to their cadres on the ground. So all these things have led to their rise post 2018, in 2019 and now. So it has been a very recent development. And many people talk about the role of Sangh Parivar and RSS, and they working silently and helping BJP. I do not think that they are You know, most of the BJP which you see are Trinamool people, like Mukul Roy is Trinamool. The 35 to 36 of their candidates are straight from Trinamool Congress, joined in recent years. So it is not that, you know, years of this thing. The ideological front is only one aspect of that. There is also this 10 years of anti-incumbency against the Trinamool Congress regime, and BJP had taken their key leaders and roped them in the party, the people who know the state well. So they are now at the forefront of their campaign. If you see this, for instance, in 2014 and 2016 elections, the Narda and the Sarda scam were very important issues in West Bengal. Lakhs of people's saving in the small, in the chit funds, as they were called, or money raising schemes. They had lost this savings. So it was a huge issue. The issue doesn't find mention this time in the election. The BJP manifesto is talks about Amphan corruption, but is completely silent on the Narda and the Sarada scam, because most of the accused in the scam are have now turned sides and they've joined the BJP. So I would see it not as a, you know, it is the superstructure of BJP is built on the, you know, by the defectors of Trinamool Congress. And that is something which the left parties and they are highlighting, that, you know, most of their leaders are Trinamool people, who were very important Trinamool people till. They were ministers, they were MPs. Shubhendu Adhikari, for instance, was a key minister in Mamata Banerjee's government. And so was Mukul Roy. He was number two till he left Trinamool and joined BJP. So that is something. They in West Bengal, what they have done is use defections as a political tool and build their organization on that.
Right. Okay. So just before, and thank you for reminding me that we should sort of at least briefly discuss the Congress and the left who are in alliance this time. But before we get to that, you did mention in a previous answer that the BJP is kind of been muted on the CAA and the NRC.
Yeah. So they were quite silent on that. And if you see the central leaders like Union Home Minister and the BJP President, they were not giving any direct answers to the implementation of CAA. Now, CAA is a very, very tricky issue here. On one hand, there are these Matuas, which are like Hindu refugees from Bangladesh, and they matter in about 40 constituencies in Nodia, not 24 Parganas. They are very keen on its implementation. And on the other hand, West Bengal has, according to the last census, 27.01% Muslim population. And if we can recall, there were violent protests in West Bengal when the CAA was passed in the parliament. So there were, you know, railway stations, trains were attacked, railway lines were dug up. So all that happened. So they were trying to do a balancing act, but I think by putting this thing of implementing the CAA in their manifesto, they have gone on this, because the BJP was feeling that the Matuas there was some discontentment among the Matuas, and they had to put it. So it's a very tricky issue. And though the BJP doesn't overtly reach out to the minorities, but in a subtle manner, they are also reaching out, saying, referring to issues like, you know, migration of youths, low job opportunities here, and all that. So in a subtle way, and the state leaders are trying to reach out to that population which is firmly behind the Trinamool. So that's a very tricky issue, and it had not dominated the campaign till they mentioned it in their manifesto for this election.
Right. And so just I think before we end, let's just discuss the prospects of the Congress and the left. Both in, at least by reporting, it seems like both really don't have much of a chance. Is there political space for them as sort of non-existent as it's made up?
Yeah, there is a political space for them. And what is most talked about the left Congress? Because left and Congress fought the 2016 elections together. They called it an electoral understanding, and also the 2019 elections on some seats together. So this is, the left and Congress have been contesting elections together, some sort of electoral understanding. What is new this time? They have brought in a party called Indian Secular Front, which is headed by a religious leader from Furfura, which is in Hooghly, and they've given ISF, the Indian Secular Front, about 37 seats, which are huge, right, number of seats for a newly formed party. And if you talk to the left and Congress leaders as to why they did that, they say that this was a historical necessity for them, because anyway they were in a polarized situation, and they wanted to have a party which could appeal to the Muslim electorate. And ISF is contesting on a number of seats in South Bengal, particularly seats which have a majority of Muslim population. They can, you know, they can play a spoil sport for Trinamool, at least that's what my understanding is, particularly in districts like South 24 Parganas, which has 31 seats, and also in this Malda Murshidabad region, where there are a number of assemblies where Muslim population is majority population. So yes, they don't have, you know, they don't have any chance of winning the elections, but they can play a spoil sport. That's there. And left in Congress, left has fielded a number of young candidates, a number of they're talking about issues of the people, but this is a very polarized election, so I don't think they will matter beyond.
Right, Shiv, so we're running out of time, so I think we'll kind of wrap it up here. And I'm glad we were able to get you on this really important day in the West Bengal elections, the day that Nandigram is going to vote.
Yeah.
And it's been fascinating to talk to you. Thank you so much for joining us on the podcast today.
Thank you. Thank you.
In Focus will be back soon with analysis of the biggest news issues. In the meantime, you can find our podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and other platforms. Just search for In Focus by The Hindu. We'll see you soon.